this. This is brothers. They're a teen challenge. They call all the students the brothers, you know. And this is Brother Eddie Walvogel. His father was my pastor for many, many years, and we grew up together. We played the violin in church together, sang together, went on a canoe ride together here, and we both tipped over. I'll never forget that. But we're so happy to be here. And, you know, I forgot, does anyone have a pair of reading glasses that they can lend me? Brother Wade, you do?
Thank you.
I left it in the van, and I just might need them here from time to time. Thank you. We were at a church this morning in Albany. By the way, this is the Teen Challenge Choir. Of course, it's no mystery if you read what's on our shirt. But we were in Albany this morning at a church, City Harvest Church. We've been there before. It's a very interesting church. There's about 70 or 80 Pakistanis that go there to that church. And last night, two of us stayed with a Pakistani family, and we really had a wonderful time. They've only been here for a year and a half, and the man of the house is a pastor, and he pastors a group of folks from Pakistan that rent that have a service in the church that we were at this morning on a Friday night. And so we met his family, and he gave us an authentic Pakistani meal, and by the end of the meal, my mouth was breathing fire. It was really hot, but it was delicious. It was really good, and we had just such a wonderful time with them. And so, you know, in our travels, God brings us to many areas, and we meet so many different people, and it's really wonderful to that God just uses us to be a blessing, and really that's what we want to do, just be a blessing. I guess I'm sure you probably heard that David Wilkerson passed away in the spring. He was the founder of Teen Challenge, as a lot of you know, and was in a car accident and was instantly killed. And I believe that his wife Gwen has just about completely recovered from her injuries, and at first she didn't really realize that David was gone, you know. And but anyway, I think she's doing well, and so thank God for that. And of course, Dave founded Teen Challenge in Brooklyn in 1958, where my father, just shortly after that, became the head cook, and he was cook for almost 15 years. And then, after that time, Dave felt that there should be another place where they could take the students away from the city, from New York City, because at that time, Teen Challenge was only in Brooklyn. Now it's all over the world. And so that's when, in 1962, he bought some acres of ground where we are from in Rairsburg, which is a very rural area, and it's a place where they could get away from New York. And and that is considered phase two of the program. It's 14 months long. And after spending a few months at an induction center, then they go on to phase two, which is in Rairsburg. Well, that's one of the training centers, but we can house up to 275 men. It's the largest center, I think, in the world. And so that's where these men are from. And Teen Challenge in 2008, they celebrated the 50th anniversary of the founding of Teen Challenge. And next year, in 2012, we're going to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the training center. So I'm not sure all that, you know, is going to happen, but it's going to be 50 years that the training center has been in existence. And So anyway, I'm glad that we were able to come, and I'm looking forward to the choir to be in the service this evening. And I've told them a little bit about the camp, not everything, but I've told them a little. And so, so anyway, looking forward to tonight's service as well. I thought maybe, would you mind if a few of these fellows share some of their testimonies? And we have two or three numbers that we'll sing. And let's see. Why don't we sing a song first, okay? We're going to sing, guys, you can just kind of stand here. We're going to sing the doxology. We sing it a couple of different ways, and it's part of our new CD. You just kind of stand back here. And stand in two rows, okay? Just kind of like we stand if we were on risers. Okay? Very good. And by the way, you don't know, but Pilgrim Camp, they sing. There are two prayers that for many years we have sung before mealtime, and they go to the same tune as the doxology. And when I was a camper, I learned them. But anyway, we're going to sing the doxology a couple of different ways, and this actually leads into another song that we do, but we will just sing the doxology, okay? And I'm gonna sing with you, okay? Okay, which is right here. Boy, getting mixed up here. Okay? Here we go.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Brothers, why don't you have a seat for right now, and that's okay. I'm not going to sit down. No. Oh, okay. All right. You know, these men come from all different states, all different towns, cities, and. Just consider that a few months ago, none of these men knew each other. They didn't know me. They didn't know, most of them probably had never heard of Teen Challenge. And here, in just a few months, they're all singing in a choir, traveling around the country from place to place. I think that's amazing. And all they did was they just let God have His way. And we sing a song now called Give Up and Let Jesus Take Over. And that's exactly what they did. And when we let Jesus take over, then God has a lot of surprises in store, things that we never could have even thought of. And that's what has happened in their lives. And so, Gary is he's one of the newest members of the choir. And Gary is from New Jersey, but he's traveled up around here. And Gary, why don't you come and share, okay?
Surprise, surprise. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Gary. I'm from South Brunswick, New Jersey. Not very long ago, before I came to Tune Challenge, I probably wouldn't have attempted something like this because I've always am nervous. So just bear with me, but I will try to share with you as best as I can my life story in a brief moment. I was the youngest of five children. I would say I came from a pretty stable family. My mom was a pretty strong Christian, made sure we went to church and Sunday school. And my father was a very hard-working man. Obviously, with five kids and the pressures of a family, he worked very hard and was distant from the family quite a bit, you know, because he was always at work, it seemed like, for me. So throughout my adolescent days, a lot of things that I participated in, I was active in the school choirs and plays and stuff. He was never there. I didn't realize it at the time, but later in life I realized that I was missing a male figure that I yearned for, and I came to find that with my older brothers. Let me just backtrack a little bit. As a young man, I had accepted the Lord as my Savior at Vacation Bible School, but I never really, I mean, it was a joy and things, but I guess I never really, you know, what I've learned, it's hard to explain it because what I've learned since I've been a Teen Challenge now, and I'm trying to explain what I didn't know then, but accepting Lord as your Savior is the easy part, making Him your Lord is the hard part, and at around an early age, and it's very common from the men I talk to in Teen Challenges, around a very influential age, at like 14, 15 years old, I was distracted by marijuana. Some of the older girls in my high school were using that, and had paid some attention to me, and I kind of liked having a little group, and so I kind of fell into the grasp of that. Around 18, 19 years old, I really got into rock and roll music. It was the sounds of the times. The devil's very creative in ways he lures us in, and I kind of fell head over heels for that. The live performances, the concerts in New York City, the nightclubs, the lights, the glamour. And I have to repent, in which I did, because I was very selfish. It was all about me and what I felt. And making myself feel good, you know. My sights were set on all the wrong things. And throughout my life, I tried to hide. I lived a double standard. I became codependent in my late 20s with women and relationships. I leaned on them for the times I got in trouble with the law, losing my licenses, times I was arrested. I manipulated people and used them for my advantage. It's embarrassing to say, but I did. If you live that type of lifestyle, work all the time, 6 days a week, and you want to go out and do all these things at late night, the devil has created things out there for that too. Such things as like cocaine and methamphetamines. You find yourself sometimes using those substances to stay out late, to stay awake, to be sharp, and very easily fall into addiction and without realizing it. Alcohol and drugs has been devastating throughout my life. But thank God, if you're out there today and you're praying for someone in your family, I want to tell you that there's hope, because I had a mom who believed in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ still performs miracles today. And every man on the mountain out there is part of a miracle. My parents and my mom never gave up praying for me. My sister married a man after she went out of Zion Bible College, and for years prayed for me. And she would see me at Christmas times and cry and say, "Gary, what are you doing with your life?" And I'd say, "I'll be all right, you know." And I would get emotional. She said, "You know, God still loves you." And they never gave up on me. And throughout my life, I could get into more details, but it's not really the point. The point is that Christ died on the cross for each and every one of us, and He shed His blood, and He saves people from the horrifying grips of addiction and bondage. And I had an opportunity to come to Teen Challenge through an intervention that my sister had set up in a Syracuse induction center. And I was just at a broken point in my life. I was being evicted from an apartment, which was quite embarrassing, which that never happened before. And I wasn't working, but I had a good job, but we were laid off for the winter, and I had no money, and it was just an all-time low. And I hadn't remembered that I was really sick up for the last 6 months up to that. I was taking Oxycontin drugs, which are painkillers for back injuries, for cancer patients. I worked a hard job, construction, doing cement, concrete work, and bridge building, which gave me an excuse to try to kill the pain, so to speak. And it's a very addictive drug. Before you know it, you know, you're so sick in the morning that you can't, you know, really function. And you know, you do some and you lie to yourself and you just get caught in Satan's web. And it's very destructive. And I remember crying out in the bathroom many times alone. I said, people, if I die here in this bathroom, no one's even going to know. I won't even be able to call anybody. No one knows. But, you know, God knew. That's the key. And an intervention came in and I had an opportunity. We're not getting into all the details. My mom had spoken to my sister. And they said, the phone call came in. They said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm getting evicted. I explained it to my mom. And a couple days later, the phone rang. She said, would you consider going to Teen Challenge? And I said, well, yes, you know, but I don't really know about it. And they explained the program to me. But the other point I wanted to make, the moment I said yes, something happened. You know, God began to work in me. And when I got to that center in Syracuse, the love and of the brothers and the permanent staff there, they just got and sat me down and began to pray over me. And the spirit and bondage of addiction began, I could feel the weight begin to lift off of me. And it was just a transformation. We started going to churches every Sunday, and every altar call, I pretty much ran up there, and I just threw myself up and said, God, I can't do this anymore. Can you help me? Here I am. And praise God, he lifted me up. I've been there for 7 months. 7 months ago, you wouldn't have recognized me. I was about 170 pounds and kind of looked like I got run over by a truck. But praise God, we're out today, and it's really been a pleasure to speak to you guys. I hope I didn't bore you too much, but the key is, if you're out there and you're praying for somebody in your family, so many churches we go to, I can see it on people's faces, you know, and they look and they say, what about my nephew, my niece, my grandson? There's hope out there through Jesus Christ, whether it's through Teen Challenge or not, and we're just going to keep praying for those lost souls out there. Thank you for letting me share. God bless.
Praise God, Gary. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. That's just one of many, and I wish you could hear them all, and I could tell you, would you like to hear them all? I don't know, some of these guys, I have to shut them down, you know, they're talking way too long. But I could tell you, I've been now there at Teen Challenge this fall, actually, it's 21 years, and I came in November, and I talk about, you know, that these men, you know, gave up and they let Jesus take over, and then they came to Teen Challenge. And I had to, in a way, do the same thing. I mean, I wasn't on drugs, you know. But I had to really just let God have his complete way in my life. And was praying about that. And 21 years ago, God brought me to Teen Challenge. And it's been a pretty exciting life. And very, very rewarding. And after a couple of more share, maybe we sing another song, I'll share a little bit more. But anyway, maybe you'd like to hear somebody from the South. Ron, why don't you go? Ron is a great young man. And go ahead, Ron, come on up. Ron runs the sound for us. He stands in the back and runs the soundboard and runs our soundtracks for us, and he's from the South, so go ahead and share.
Good evening. My name is Ronald. I'm already been emotional about Gary. So, I'm 22 years old. I'm the youngest guy on the choir, if that's vital information or not. But basically, my story is a little bit like Gary's. I grew up without a father. My mother got mixed up with my father at a young age, and they had me. And my mother left my father to try to get me out of the lifestyle of drugs and alcohol and partying, so that I would have a better chance in life. That, you know, that I wouldn't be around that lifestyle of drugs and alcohol and abuse. So my mother left my father, and we went to move with my grandparents, and my father's been in and out of jail and prison all of my life. He still to this day is battling with addiction. And we went and moved with my grandparents, and my grandparents and my mother raised me. My grandfather and my grandmother and my mother are the ones that raised me. A couple years later, my mother married another man, and for some reason, this man also was involved with drugs and alcohol, and he was very abusive to my mother, physically and verbally. I witnessed a lot of abuse towards my mother at a young age, and he was no father figure for me at all. He was very bitter, and he was always drinking and very mean. So, you know, at an early age, I grew up with a resentment towards men because at a very young age, I'd seen my mother heartbroken all the time. And so my mother finally made it out of that relationship, and my mother worked very hard to provide for me. She went to school, and she became a licensed beautician, and she got a good job, and she managed to get away from this guy, and she rented a house down the street from my grandparents, and life was pretty good. My grandfather, he raised me pretty much. I grew up in the outdoors hunting and fishing. My grandfather taught me to work hard for the things you want and to be thankful for the things you have. And my grandfather and grandmother and mother, they instilled good ethics in me, good work ethics, and taught me to be thankful for things, and if I want something, to work for it, you have to earn it. So, my mother started dating, and I was really resentful towards men, and I'd seen my mother be broken by men for so long that I was very resentful towards every man that she dated that would come around that wanted to date my mother. And I just became very bitter towards men. I didn't trust men. I didn't want any man to tell me what to do or to try to show me how to do things. I wanted to learn to do everything on my own. And I just did not like men who tried to, you know, be a father figure for me because I felt like a burden, and I figured, you know, they're not my father, you know, they can't tell me anything. Around age 13, I started hanging out with the wrong people, basically. Smoking cigarettes, drinking beer, getting into trouble, you know. And at that age, it's kind of, you know, it's fun to you, you know. It's like a game, you know. And you know, you never really know what you're getting into until later. Just to fast forward a little bit, I started using, I pretty much dove right into the hard stuff. At age 16, I was using heroin and cocaine. I got mixed up with the wrong people, and I was using heroin and cocaine and anything I could get my hands on at age 16. I managed to graduate high school. I went to school for heating, ventilation, and air conditioning. I had a good job. I had a good girlfriend. All that stuff. I worked hard for everything. I had a vehicle, everything. I had everything, and I worked for everything. I earned things on my own. But I couldn't. But I was putting myself in a trap, and I had no idea that I was doing it. When I got in some trouble as a juvenile, but I managed to get out of it. And when I turned 18, I went to jail for the first time, and my mother said, "That's it, you know, you're on your own now." So I went to jail for the first time when I was 18 for a couple months, and I got out, and that didn't stop me. I went right back to the same people and the same things. And at age 21, I'm 22 now, I turned 22 in January, you know, after being kicked out of my mother's house, my grandparents' house, they lost all trust in me. I was lying and stealing, getting into trouble. I was living from house to house, going to jail for a couple months, getting out, doing it all over again. They would tell me, you know, I knew I needed help. They would tell me I needed help, but I wanted it, but I didn't know how to get it, and I really wasn't ready. But finally, I don't know, you know, why or what, I ended up in Teen Challenge, Youth Challenge in Newport News, Virginia, and I was just so tired of being sick and tired. About the second week there, I just threw my hands in the air, and I gave up, and I just accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And from the staff at Teen Challenge and reading God's Word and from the Holy Spirit working in my life, God took it all away from me. He took it all away from me. and it's, I cannot explain it to you. It's not about anything that I've done. It's only about God's grace.
Hallelujah. That I
stand here today. I got marks on my arms from infections, from dirty needles, but for some reason, God saw fit for me to stand here today, disease-free. You know, and my whole life, I was always just trying to, I was looking for something, trying to figure out who I was, you know. And I felt like that I had been treated so unfairly, and I was very selfish. I felt like everybody owed me something. Because I felt like I didn't ask to be born into this situation. I didn't ask to not have a father. You know, I didn't ask for this. And I used that as an excuse to do what I want when I wanted it, and to take what I want. If you didn't give me what I wanted, I'd take it. And I was very selfish. But upon getting saved and realizing and, you know, reading God's word and the Holy Spirit working in my life, I realize that it's not all about me. That it's not all about me. It's all about Jesus, you know. And it's by nothing that I can do. It's only by God's grace and mercy that I can be anything today. It's not by my strength, because every time that I try to take over, even in the program, the program is a great place to learn how to apply the Bible to your life. Because I try to take over and I mess up every time. And it's only when you surrender and let go that things will start to change that have, for my life. And just like Gary said, if you got a family member that's struggling with something, maybe drugs and alcohol or something, just please don't stop praying for them, because my grandmother prayed for me every day and every night. And I just want to share a scripture with you. It says that David said in Psalms 119 that it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. And I believe that to be true in my life also, because I believe that all those things that I went through, every single thing that I went through was all for a reason. It was all to make me who I am today and who I'm going to be. And I just know that God has a purpose for my life. I can't explain it to you, but I know that I know that I know. And it's... when you give up and let go, things change. And, you know, thank you for letting me share.
Okay, brothers, why don't we sing one of our numbers, okay? And then we'll have another, someone else or two share, all right? So I'm going to go to the piano.
Thank you.
why don't you have a seat? Phil, why don't you stand up here? You know, one of the things, after there is a graduation every month at the Teen Challenge, and I'm gonna, after we get done here, I will share a little about that, and there's something I want to read to you that I think you'll enjoy. But a lot of people always ask me, what do students do after they graduate? Where do they go? Do they have a job lined up? Or do you keep, you know? And anyway, one of the things that can happen is after a student graduates, they can apply to stay on either at the center, either at the training center to work for a minimum of 6 months, and even possibly longer. Some have applied to work for 6 months and have been there 5 years. And or they can apply to go to the induction center that they came from and work there for a while, and that kind of helps, you know, rather than being completely thrust out into the world, it's kind of a gentler way for them to experience how to, you know, get involved in working and kind of being on their own, but not really actually being, you know, out there. And so and it works out very well for a lot of the students. And it also, some of the students want to give back, because going through 14 months long, a 14-month long program is basically free of charge. Every student, I think, is charged initially an entrance fee of $750. And that's it after that. And I mean, we've had students that have been that have already come from a 30-day drug rehab program that is funded by their insurance company, that has cost $1,000 a day for a 30-day program, and the percentage rate of those programs is very low. Teen Challenge, and thank God, it's only because of Jesus, is considered to be the most successful substance abuse program in the world, and we Teen Challenge really doesn't charge, you know, and so but anyway, so well anyway, Phil is one of those. Phil was on the choir just a few months ago, and he you know, had a number of opportunities and felt that God was calling him to stay on a Teen Challenge here at the training center, and he is. You are the kitchen supervisor?
Second shift supervisor at the dining facility.
And so Phil's going to tell you, so that's what he's doing now. And he's got, pray for him, because he's got some physical issues, and when he goes back, he has to face a few things, and he needs a touch from God, okay? So go ahead, Phil.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ. My name is Philip. I'm 47 years old, father of three, divorced. But I'll give you my history. I, like the rest of most of my brothers, was born into my mother was godly. My father was a civil servant. I'm the youngest of five children. I was born in Allentown, Pennsylvania. And I was raised in a church. It was an evangelical congregational church, Bethany, on 6th Street in Allentown. And by the age, up until the age of 9, my mother made us all go. She said, if you don't go to Sunday school and church, you don't play. You don't get to do anything the rest of the week. But as a typical stubborn boy, if you can imagine that, I just wanted to do my thing. And I became distracted by the world at a very young age and walked away from God. So I had a godly upbringing, but I quickly reverted or converted to heathen in a matter of a few years. And by the age of 13, I was already hanging around with the wrong crowd, smoking cigarettes, drinking beer. And what I didn't understand then was that life was about choices. And I was definitely making all the wrong ones. Along the way into adulthood, despite the best of intentions, I made a mess of everything I touched, because it was just my iniquity, just what I wanted to do, if it was self-serving to my benefit. Never about others, never about anything but me. And going through high school, then I got married, I went into the military, got married, I had a child. My oldest is a girl. She'll be 28 in October, next month. And that marriage failed real quickly. Here again, my choices and not what God had for me, but what I wanted to do. And then into adulthood, I came to into adulthood in the 80s, which was definitely a decade and a time of excess. Everything was excessive, and I fell right into it. By then, I was using cocaine, and I was drinking uncontrollably. And along the way, I noticed that, looking back, I wish I could have listened to those people who were asking questions when I was a young guy. They already knew the answers to the questions, but they cared enough to ask to maybe get me to think. And I just wanted to do what I wanted to do. So now in my late 30s, I'm having a mess of things. I've had DUIs. I lost houses. I've lost relationships. I've lost everything I ever cared about. I traded and gave away. When I came to the end of my own abilities, I began to step outside the law. So now I was facing legal repercussions. So by my 40s, I'm a total wreck. I got a mountain of wreckage piled up around me that everyone can see but me. Totally, just don't really care about anything. By this time, I'm a broken man. I have physical injuries that are irreparable, physical damage, never be the same. I have titanium implants for bones from accidents, attacks, all kinds of things. But by this time, I was pretty broken, as you say, and God, finally I cried out. I said, look, I'm going to be dead very shortly with the lifestyle I'm living. So God, if you're real, show me. Boy, God showed up, and I'll tell you, he started closing doors, because I'm just as stubborn as people can be. He started closing all the doors in life but one, and you all know which one that one is. So, and by the time, nobody sets out to be a hatter, but by the time you get the teen challenge, you've pretty much exhausted everything you have. You have, nobody wants to talk to you. Your family doesn't want to talk to you. Your children don't even want to talk to you. Nobody wants to know you. So these men who don't know me give me a home, give me a food, give me clothing, give me education, give me instruction, and trust me, okay, because they see some things. So God answers prayer. I know I'm standing in front of you as answered prayer. Hallelujah. And this is by grace. Ephesians 2:8-9 says it all. For by grace are you saved through faith, and is a gift of God, not of works. Nothing I could do could earn that. And that's really something that I learned. And along the way, when I got to Teen Challenge, I had already some knowledge of the church, but I lacked the foundational stuff. I didn't have the godly character to stand when the wounds came. And they come. We know they come. It rains. And since I came to Teen Challenge, I got that learning. I got the learning and the knowledge. And I got to know God. I got to meet Jesus through Jesus. And that's what it is. Because I'm one of those men that did the secular programs. And it's the Jesus factor, okay? Because I had sobriety. I had periods of sobriety where I could get clean, but I couldn't keep it because I didn't have that character I was talking about, the godly character. And it's a case of doing versus done, right? With NA or AA, I have to introduce myself and speak death into my situation immediately by saying, I'm an addict, right? And I was. I wasn't at it. Today, I stand before you. The smile is genuine. It's real. I'm free. I'm free. I'm freer now with nothing than I was out in the world with everything. All the toys and all the things mean nothing. Now it's the eternal viewpoint instead of the secular viewpoint. But with Jesus, it's back to what I was saying, was the doing versus done. It's doing. I'm always going to the meetings. I'm always introducing myself as that. With Jesus, who the Son sets free is free indeed. And that's a wrap. So, but with fellowshipping with holy people, with godly people, and examining my thoughts and feelings on the interaction is how I came to realize these things, and by revelation of God, because, let's face it, I'm a thick-headed mule. You know. But with that, these brothers, it's the accountability and the godly men like Brother Bob here and these brothers who hold me accountable. Okay, so now I hold people accountable because I'm accountable. Accountability was everything for me, and transparency. The fact that I cannot delude. I can't meet God and live. No man or woman can meet God and live. You cannot live on in a mere shadow of self-doubt or shadow of self-deception. It doesn't work. So as long as I can remain honest and faithful about how I feel, I have a chance if I stay submitted to God, to the Word, faithful to the Word. And for me, I can say pretty easy. I guess I'm talking a little long, but my testimony is pretty simple. It's that God did what only God could have done. He allowed me to get out of myself and into Him who created me to do what He created me to do. And so with that, I just say one of my favorite life verses is Isaiah 45:22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I'm the Lord, and there is no one else. But with that, I say good afternoon and thank you for listening.
You know, Phil wasn't really supposed to come with us this weekend because he's really not on the choir anymore. He works in the kitchen, but had an open spot, and so I thought, you know, I think Phil would really enjoy coming here, and I thought I'd like to see if I can get him here, and asked him, and I didn't think that he was going to be able to be let out of the kitchen for the whole weekend, but the person that runs the kitchen now drove for one of our tours a few years ago and actually spent a few days here at Pilgrim Camp. And so when he heard that that's where he was going to go, he said, he said he can go, you know. And so I'm glad that...
His name is Brother Ray Coutreau, and he's actually a member of my church in Hershey, Pennsylvania. That's how I heard about Team Challenge. Otherwise, I would have never...
From Ray, yes.
From Ray.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So anyway, I'm just glad that it all worked out. And, you know, Monday and Tuesday, this past Monday and Tuesday, we finally recorded a new CD. We were down in Harrisonburg, Virginia, and we actually recorded in a studio that is owned by the Mennonites. It was kind of interesting. The entire building where we were was a Mennonite building, and it was the nicest, most beautiful studio we've ever recorded in. And it's a CD I've been working on for 3 years, and because of finances, it just wasn't, you know, happening. And so I was having to try to raise some money. And surprisingly, God really began to supply, and more than we need. So we ate pretty good when we went down there, right? When we travel, you know, we're always going either to McDonald's or Subway or something like that. But anyway, because God oversupplied, we had a couple of good meals down there. It's going to be called Never Going Back, and maybe one of you can stand up and that's what our CD is going to look like. And this is today is the first time we have worn these shirts. Whenever we get a new CD, I ask God for help to try to come up with a new theme, and I heard this song and put it together, and then try to come up with a design for the new CD and the shirt, and this song Never Going Back, which we're not going to sing, by the way. I have another one that we're going to do because I'm not playing this right now. But the lyrics of this song are just wonderful. You know, in the Bible, in so many places in the Bible, it talks about, not going back, pressing toward the mark and forgetting things that are behind. In Ephesians, it talks about putting off the former conduct, which is what all these men have been involved in, bad conduct. And so now we want to put it off. And the scripture that I have on our shirt, Jude 24, says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." And you know, one of the things that is always a concern about the students when they graduate, is they don't want to fall, you know, or afraid that they're going to fall. And thinking about the new CD and the theme that I was trying to come up with, I thought about that. You know, that idea, you know, and God doesn't want any of us to fall, ever. And we've often heard the statement that the path of the just is as the shining light that leads more and more unto the perfect day. And we don't want to go back. We want to keep going. And so that's how this theme, Never Going Back, came about. And these men, I actually had kind of a lesser group as far as numbers than I would have liked to have had for a recording. And I thought, boy, you know, I hope, I don't know how this is going to turn out. We rehearse every day. We really rehearse hard and long, and I have them sing the same notes again and again and again. You know, you have to do that. And I didn't know how it was going to turn out, but we prayed, and we got in the studio, and we did a few different things that we have never done before, and there's going to be a few added things on the CD that we've never tried. But when we sang, the Holy Spirit was there.
Amen.
And we sang from our hearts, and you could tell that God's presence was there. And it far exceeded my expectations. But also with some of the tricks and the magic they can work in the studio, you know, it helped us out too. But you know, they can isolate parts and things like that, and you know, different things. But anyway, God helped us, and it should be out like before Christmas. That theme, Never Going Back, is just, I think it's an excellent theme. But I'd like to read something to you, and that kind of goes along with you know, that idea. And every month, the last Friday of every month, there is a graduation. And at the beginning of every month, we have incoming students. So it's kind of, it's always a revolving. It's kind of, there's a turnover, a slow turnover every month, and that happens on the choir. There's always you people coming in and out, and so, you know, have to keep rehearsing all the time. But anyway, gentleman who is now well into his 80s, he came up with this something. It's called a charge to the graduates that is read by a different person at the end of every graduation. And this man that wrote this charge has kind of a connection to our fellowship, and I'll explain it. He Robert Rainbow, do you know that name, Brother Eddie? Well, anyway, he and his wife Rowan, they had fellowship with your mother and father. He taught for many years at Teen Challenge. Now he's kind of retired. But they call him at Teen Challenge. They call him Pop Rainbow, but his name is Robert, all of his sons are in the ministry, but many years ago, he pastored an Assembly of God in Glens Falls for a number of years, and the church that he pastored in, the church building, was built by Carl Saylor Sr. Somehow. Brother Rainbow and his wife had fellowship with Brother Edwin, Brother Eddie's mother and father. So he knew about Pilgrim Camp, and so there's a connection there. But this is what he wrote, and this is what is read at the end of every graduation, and Brother Rainbow wrote this. It says here, "You have finished the program. You have been nurtured here for 8 months. Well, now it's 10 months there. You will leave here to face new challenges to your faith. You will be tempted to fail as never before. Therefore, I charge you to commune with God as Adam did, believe God as Abraham did, be faithful to God as Moses was, be a man after God's heart as David was, pray fervently as Elijah did, and you will never fail. Remember, he who was tempted in all points, as we are, has promised to never leave you or forsake you. You will not be forgotten. We will pray for you." And so, as you know, I've heard it month after month, and sometimes I'm not always there because I'm gone, you know, with the choir sometimes. But as I've heard that, you know, I got the that idea, and God doesn't want us to fail. God doesn't want us to fall. And so I heard this old song, Never Going Back, and I put it together with another one, and then that's how we got the theme. But it really So that's our new, the title of our new CD. But song that we'd like to leave with you, I think is a very appropriate song, and it's one of our newest songs. And the title of it is called Find Us Faithful. And we try to, and I talk a lot with the choir about being faithful, and that's what God wants us to be. Faithful to love Him, faithful to do the will of God, faithful to fulfill God's call in each of our lives, and we want to be found faithful in our faithfulness if we are called to go home here on this earth, or if Jesus comes when we are still alive. We want to be found being faithful to do whatever it is that God has, that God's plan and purpose for our life is. And so this is quite a song, and the men love to sing it, and I'm going to go to the piano. I hope I can play it. So I'll try. I hope these glasses will help. So the men are going to come here, and I'll go to the piano, and we will sing.
Find us faithful. You know, the whole point to life is to be faithful to God's call and to the will of God. Praise the Lord.
I'm going to let Robert choose from two songs that I like to sing to close out this meeting, okay? One is, "Nor silver nor gold," they're in the hymn book, "has obtained my redemption," and the other one is, "Marvelous Grace of Our Loving Lord." And, want to do that? Okay, number 200. I think this group is going to give a real boost to our singing. It's 200 in the hymn book, okay? The larger book. Okay, we got it. Okay. "Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt, yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled, grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will water and cleanse within, grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our stay for the evening. Maybe we can have one song that meeting at least.
We'll see. Okay.
You could sing that one again about, "Lord, we lift your name on love."
Okay.
"So glad you came to save us." Or anyone. It's yours, of course. All right. Which brother said he likes to run things? I think it was you.
Pretty much all of us.
Okay. Well, we all got bit with the same bite. Okay. We're going to leave it up to Robert to choose that song. There's another one. Another thing I should mention. Stand, please. Please, you. Yes. This guy, he's going to be behind the scenes at supper working, because that's what he does. He's our staff coordinator for this particular period in the season. I want you to know that his name is Frank Costanza, and he's, maybe you know that already. You know that he's Robert's nephew? Okay. Just in case you don't get to meet him, okay, later. All right, let's stand on that last verse. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace freely bestowed on all who believe.
Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see His grace, will you this moment His grace receive?
Missionary to South Africa, and he's here with us this weekend. Would you come, please, here and lead us in prayer in closing? Come to the center. Thank you. Hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence at this time, and we want to tell you that we are so very grateful for your presence with us in this meeting today. We thank you for everyone who is here, and we especially thank you for those who have come from Teen Challenge and for their testimonies, for what you have done and are doing in their lives. And Lord, we want to boldly and openly confess that it's all by your grace. And we also want to say, Lord, that although we've heard some testimonies of pretty harrowing experiences, Lord, we openly say every single one of us here stands on your grace alone. So we cannot say, that didn't happen to me, therefore I'm on a different level. But Lord, we're all on the same level together. We've all been touched by your grace, and we're so very grateful. And Lord, our desire and our prayer is that we would be faithful, that you would find us faithful, and that we would shine as lights in the world, giving people hope. Lord, there are so many people who are at the end of their rope. They don't know where to turn. And we pray that they will see Jesus in each one of us. Now we pray that you will dismiss us with your blessing, Lord, and bring us back at the appointed time, refreshed and ready for more of your presence amongst us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you. God bless you.